Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
Hey, we're going to jump on our message today. Easter is a fun time to preach, and there's just so much in the Bible to talk about Jesus rising from the dead. But Romans chapter 8, kind of want to use it as the launch pad for today. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says this. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead. How many of you guys are glad he raised him from the dead? Yeah. That's why we're here today. Just to make sure. It's not because a chocolate bunny lays eggs, okay? Have you ever figured that one out? All right, never mind. I haven't either. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Now, let me unpack that for a second. You might say, well, what does that mean? It means this. You don't only have to celebrate Easter, which is the power that raised Christ from the dead. You can live Easter. The same power that raised Christ from the dead can live inside of each of us. Today, I want to talk about the gap between what God has for us in life and what we're currently living. How many of you guys have gap insurance on a vehicle? Anyone know what gap insurance is? Anyone ever, you have to use gap insurance? Gap insurance is when you take insurance out because you probably bought a car that you couldn't afford, maybe, and if you crashed it, you owe more on it than the loan you took out for it or whatever, okay? That gap, it covers that gap. I think many of us, and part of life is stewarding the gap between what we're currently experiencing and all that God has for us. Now, some of you in here, that gap is maybe pretty big. Others of you, you're on a... See, I don't look at Christianity as you make one decision for Jesus and it's all over. You know, I made a decision. I asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. And now I've got fire insurance and I've got out of this world benefits. So I'm going to heaven when I die. It's not all about that. I think there's a journey and there's steps and there's a process. I'm a systems guy. Anyone a systems thinker? You kind of like the 1, 2, 3. The color by number. You know, and you kind of like that. And so today, I was asking myself. I kind of was reading the Gospels. That's the first four books of the New Testament: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Some of you've heard of them before. I was reading there, and I saw a gap. I when I read about the resurrection, I saw a gap. Jesus was crucified and buried on Friday. And then there's a gap. And then there's the resurrection on Sunday. And I was looking at that and I was thinking, hey, I wonder, and I started thinking about it and I realized maybe those 3 days have something we can learn. Can we learn something from Friday and from Saturday and from Sunday? And I want to propose to you that you're probably personally experiencing one of these days right now. In fact, let's look at it this way. First Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says it this way. This is the kind of life you've been invited into. The kind of life Christ lived. He suffered. That's Friday. Everything that came his way so you would know that it could be done and also know how to do it step by what? Step by step. So I want to talk today. I think I want to help you look at this journey with God and this gap that sometimes where you are to where God wants you to be. And how can we close the gap or make sure we're taking the right steps toward all that God has for us? Because I believe this. God has great plans for each of us, the Bible says, plans for hope and for a future. Some of you might be, I don't feel very hopeful right now. I don't feel very, you know, and so I want to talk today about Friday and Saturday and Sunday, the 3 days to the resurrection. I want to kind of unpack the 3 days, and maybe it's a little different, a non-typical Easter message for you. I don't know, but I want to look at the 3 days, and there's three, threes are powerful, three is a powerful number. How many of you guys know that? I learned when I was a kid on Schoolhouse Rock, 3's a magical number. Anyone remember that? You know, hey, faith, hope, and charity, right? Maybe some of you can sing it with me, the past, the present, the future, and how tripods have 3 legs and tables have 3 legs because anything with only 2 legs can be pushed over. Cows can be tipped with 4 legs, but we won't go there. Then there's 3 ring circuses, there's 3 little pigs, there's the 3 French hens, and there's the 2 turtle doves, and then there's 3 goats, Billy, 3 billy goats, Gruff, say that 10 times really fast. 3 musketeers, and then Indiana Jones had 3 tests, didn't he? He had the breath of God test, the word of God, the path of God. Then there's the 3 little kittens who lost their mittens. Like, that's not going to help if you live in the Arctic anyway. Okay? And then there's the 3 blind mice, the handicapped mice being chased by someone with a knife. I mean, that's just mean. And on top of that, why make fun of a farmer's wife? They're good people. They feed us. But I want to talk today not about those 3s, but the 3 days. The 3 days of the resurrection. And I want to look at those. And so the first day, if you're taking notes, it's Friday. And I want to say Friday's the day of pain. It's the day Jesus was crucified. It's the day he was scourged. And you know, in Jewish law, you could be beaten or whipped 40 lashes minus 1, 39 times. But Roman law, the only law they had was the gentleman being crucified has to still be alive. Now, here's the deal. Jesus showed up on the space-time and history continuum. He showed up at the worst possible time when it came to capital punishment. Today would have been great. He might not even have to get crucified today or killed. He would lethal injection, and after 4 or 5 Supreme Courts, he might have lived until he died that way, right? But he showed up in history when it was crucifixion, where they would take you and flog you and basically make your back like live lasagna, and they'd strap you to to some beams in a cross form and nail your hands. And some of you have seen the Passion of Christ. It was a very painful day. And if I could take it to describe Friday in one word, it would be the word warring. Warring. See, when Jesus went to the cross, he was fighting for us. It's a war. But some of us, and so, how many of you guys have ever used the word, how you doing? Oh, I'm just battling through. You ever use words like that? Or, man, I'm struggling. Or, it's been a tough season. Or, my health has been attacked. Or, it's been a fight. Or, it's been difficult. We use those words because some of us are maybe living in Fridays right now. And it's been a season of war for you. And quite frankly, you're tired. You're tired of the fight. Some of you don't know how much longer you can handle the fight. It's been a war. It's been hard. And I want to talk briefly the types of pain Jesus experienced, because if he warred through and experienced certain pains, I believe the Bible says this. It says that he can identify with our weaknesses and our pain and our grief because he's experienced it. The first type of pain Jesus walked through was the obvious, the physical pain. He was brutally murdered on a cross, the physical pain of that. And some of you today, maybe you're walking through some severe physical pain. I met some of our snowbirds were back, and I was just so happy that God blessed them with snow. They left to go to Florida, and they came back, and it's like, thank you, Jesus, for welcoming our snowbirds back with snow for our little birds, okay? And Ted says, man, since last October, I was in pain until I had a vertebrae, you know, he had back surgery, and you don't know Ted, but some of you might know that. He went 6 months, said Mark, with severe pain every day. So I don't live with pain every day. Some of you in here live with pain every day. It's a season of battling. You're just like, if the pain could just stop, and fibromyalgia, or maybe it's arthritis. I don't know what your pain is, but it's of the physical kind, and it's back injuries, and there's immense pain. And some of you wore through, and I just want to say God understands. Now, I don't know what you feel, but I fight for you, and I'll pray for you. The second type of pain is emotional pain. Some of you, it's not physical pain. It's the emotional pain. It's, you know, Jesus was despised and rejected. The Bible says acquainted with our griefs and from the deepest level. He was born to a young lady, a teenage woman. And in that culture, you know, it was not like our culture is today. Here's a 13-year-old girl and gave birth to a son who was and was not married. And on top of that, says, well, you know, hey, an angel showed up and I got pregnant. I don't know, Dad and Mom. You know, that's what happened. Try that one on your parents. And so he probably was made fun of a little bit and marginalized in society. But some of us in here, maybe we feel marginalized in society, or maybe the sun's come back out and you felt like the seasonal depression would lift, and it hasn't lifted and it hasn't gotten any lighter, and the emotional mood is still heavy, and there's depression, or maybe there's suicidal thoughts, and you just can't get that dark cloud off of your everywhere you go, there it goes, and you don't like that thing that follows you. It's not Mary's little lamb, it's something else. The emotional weight of maybe addictions, or maybe the emotional pain of the past, maybe abuse or words, or maybe dreams have died and you live with that and go, how come? Or maybe the loss of a loved one, or miscarriage, I don't know, but you carry that emotional weight and you've been worn, it's hard to get your chin off your chest, or maybe it's not the physical pain or the emotional pain, maybe it's the relational pain. How many of you guys have, you have at least one person in your family that's crazy? Anybody? Raise your hand real high. Now, I just want to give you a hint. If you can't think of that one person, it's you. Just so you know, okay? But I mean, Jesus. I mean, Jesus' own brothers. I mean, they didn't believe he was who he was. And there was relational challenges. And how many of you know? There's a statement I heard once. C.S. Lewis is a great philosophical thinker, a Christian thinker, but he said this: the only place we, you and I, are safe from the risks of love is hell itself. In other words, if you're taken in air and you're alive, then the chance, if you have a heart to open it up and be hurt, is there. And so that means there's going to be relational challenges and there's pain. And some of you haven't found out how to put fun in dysfunction, okay? And it's just, it's difficult. And relational pain. And I don't know, so I don't know about you. Those three pains right there are almost enough to go, is it? Come on, it's not fun. It's Friday. But aren't you glad? Let me just tell you something. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't stay in Friday? See, there's Saturday. But see, Romans chapter 8 says this. And Romans is the painful, the lesson for the painful season of our life. And it's one of these verses. Let me just be careful right now to say, it's one of these verses we don't like to swallow. It's one of those pills you don't want to take. But it says this. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called to his purposes. All things work together. Now, you tell the wrong person that at the wrong time and they'll slap you. What do you mean, all things? You know, I'm walking through the loss of something pretty important, and all things work together. But what I think what the verse is saying is God can flip your pain and give you purpose in the pain. He's not like the Gaines who show you how to flip houses. This is God who flips life around. He's recycled sinners. God can take a life from the guttermost to the uttermost. God can take messes and turn them into messages, and tests and turn them into testimonies. God is so perfect for that. On the way to the cross, and maybe this is a story that you've never really thought a whole lot about, but or maybe you've never heard it, but on the way to the cross, Jesus is betrayed by a man named Judas, one of his 12 disciples. And the story goes that he went to the teachers of the law one time in the temple, and the Sadducees and Pharisees, the teachers of religious law, and they offered him 30 silver coins, which was the price to betray, or the price of a slave was 30 silver coins. Offered him 30 silver coins to betray Jesus. So they paid Judas, and Judas says, the one I kiss later on in the garden, or when we find the one I kiss on the cheek, that's the one to arrest. And for 30 silver coins, and Jesus was arrested, and the trial happens. Judas felt so guilty and so convicted. You ever done something where it just tore the insides inside out, and you were convicted and guilt, full of guilt? So he took the 30 silver coins, went back to the teachers of the law, and threw them at his feet. And they said, we can't take that. We can't take blood money. And I'm thinking, like, a church is turning money away? What's wrong with that church? Right? Some of you are like, the church, all they want is my money. No. They took his money, and what did they do with it? They took it, they wouldn't take it to the church they went, they bought the potter's field. Now that might mean not mean a whole lot, but the potter's field was the field behind the potter's house. I know it's hard to figure that out. And the potter was a potter. He made pots. He had a potter's wheel. He had clay for pottery. And he had the potter's field. The potter's field, historians and theologians say this. Scholars say the potter's field was the field behind the potter's house where all the broken pieces, the pieces that broke, would get thrown. It became the non-perishable site for recycling or garbage in the community. In other words, if something was broken, you couldn't put it back together again, and it wasn't something that would rot, you'd throw in the potter's field. So behind the potter's house is the marred, broken pieces that nobody wanted. And you know what Jesus did on the way to the cross? He redeemed a gentleman's 30 silver coins, which were meant to betray him, to purchase a field full of broken pieces that nobody else wanted. Why? Because my God is a God who understands pain and warring and brokenness. And maybe you're here today full of broken pieces and you can't figure out how to put life back together. Well, let me tell you something. On the way to the cross, I have a God who said, I want the field that no one else wants because I can put the pieces back together that nobody else wants. I know how to do that. It's good news. See, there's no pain that his purpose cannot redeem. There's no pain that his purpose cannot redeem. That's why he says, and I know God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him. In other words, it's not what happens to you, friends. It's what happens in you. When you go through hard things, it's not what happens to you. It's what happens on the inside of you. God will take your pain. And there's no pain that his purposes can't redeem. In other words, his purposes, he wanted the broken pieces because he knew he could put them back. God's into psychoceramics. He loves broken pieces. See, some of us aren't Friday, but maybe you're in Saturday. What's Saturday? Saturday's a day of confusion. Now see, my daughters knew last night. My daughters, I mean, they dyed their Easter eggs because Easter's all about eggs, right? Don't ask me how that connection happened. But they dyed their Easter eggs, and they were expecting today their chocolate bunnies and those things. But the disciples, they weren't sitting around going, tomorrow, mommy's buying us a box of Peeps because Easter's coming. They didn't know Easter was coming. So what would happen if you're a disciple and you gave everything away for 3 years, you followed Jesus, and then all of a sudden the man you followed was slaughtered on a cross, buried in a tomb, and what do you, like, okay, what do I do now? People are like, oh, weren't you, you know, and many of them went back to fishing, they went back to the commerce, they went back to their trades, they went back to, on Saturday, in this dime of confusion. Why? Because one word for Saturday is waiting. Waiting. Maybe some of you, you know God's fought through your pain. You walked through some painful experiences, and maybe you made your decision for Jesus, but now you're waiting for that promise because it's like, and you've been waiting for a while. Now, how many know when you're waiting and when you're confused, you want answers? Anyone ever been stuck between 2 days? Not knowing what the in-between looks like? I can't wait to go to heaven because someday I have some questions I'm gonna ask. I'm gonna look for Adam when I get up there, and I'm gonna lift up his shirt to see, maybe he'll wear a half shirt, I don't know. I wanna see if Adam has a belly button. I don't know if he has a belly button or not. And I'm gonna look for Noah. And I'm gonna slap him in the face. And ask him, why didn't you on the ark, the one you built, why didn't you kill those two mosquitoes when you had a chance? What would our Alaska State bird be if Noah would have done what he was supposed to do when he had a chance? Have you thought about that before? I ran across these the other day. These are called ponderables questions. And some of you have those questions, but the questions I'm going to say might be funny. There's some questions you have that aren't so funny. Like, here's one. Like, why is abbreviated such a long word? Or I got to slow this down for the slower ones in here. Why don't sheep shrink when it rains? Or why is the time of the day, now this isn't Fairbanks, this is Anchorage, okay, or other places. Why is the time of the day when the traffic is the slowest called rush hour? Have you thought about that? Or why do we drive in parkways and park in driveways? Why do the guys, if you're one of these people, well, you're okay, we still love you. But why does the guy who invests all your money, why is he called a broker? Thought about that one? Why, if they're called apartments, are they all stuck together? Or this is just one more and then I'll get on. Some of you are like, oh, please, no, not even one more. If flying is so safe, then why did they call the airport a terminal? Thought about that one? You're going to leave today. I don't know what he preached about, but why do they call an airport a terminal? See, there's questions, and there's questions, and sometimes we just don't quite understand. Sometimes your questions are like a 3-year-old trying to wrap their arm around a sumo wrestler. It's just you can't quite get your mind around the problem or the confusion, and this season of waiting and doubt. And then what happens is doubt begins to come in because your questions aren't answered. And there's some of you that maybe come to True North every week, and you're living with a promise, but you're starting to doubt because it's like, I'm doing what I feel like I'm supposed to do, but how come it's not working for me? Like it's working for the other person, always looks like they're happy. The doubt. Doubts. I mean, there's a guy in the Bible, his name was Doubting Thomas. How would you like to have a nickname? Your nickname, Doubting Thomas. Because he doubted. And Jesus said, hey, put your fingers in my holes. Put your fingers right here. Don't doubt anymore. He wanted answers. He wanted to feel. He wanted the experience. And sometimes if we have the questions, we begin to doubt and the answers don't come, then we start to give up. And what happens when you give up? I mean, the disciples, I mean, Peter went back to fishing. Judas committed suicide. Doubt, could God forgive me? I mean, he betrayed Jesus, but doubt because of him, and he lives with that fear and that pain and doubt. And all of a sudden, the next step is you just begin to feel all alone, like you're all alone in your pain, and no one is around, and can you understand that? And I love when you get to these places where you're kind of confused, to go to the book of Psalms. And sometimes Psalms might make you feel better, and sometimes you're like, man, they were dysfunctional too. I mean, the guy was like down here one day and up here the next day. It's like, oh, he's bipolar spiritually like I am. In other words, I don't always get A's in everything all the time. I don't always feel the best. And Asaph, he in Psalm 73, read it sometimes, he starts going, God, I'm doing everything right, and why are the wicked prosperous? And why does this happen to people that don't deserve it? And I'm doing all this. And then in Psalm 73, verse 16, it says this. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God, and then I understood. In other words, I got to a place where I was able to cut out the noise. So I want to propose to you, some of you, there's a time of confusion, but you haven't found the place where you say, God, I got to hear your voice. I need to hear what you have to say. And so when I got in the sanctuary, if the key to Friday is that there's no pain that his purpose can't redeem, if you're in Saturday, there's no confusion that his presence cannot calm. The Bible says he'll give you the peace that passes all understanding. It'll guard your heart and your mind. In other words, the fears and anxieties and all the questions, you get in the right place, God will give you the peace that passes. You can be in a storm and still have peace. When you're confused, you got to find that place. Sometimes when we're confused, we go to everybody but God. We push everyone away. The Bible says, cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. The third thing is Sunday. How many guys are glad that Sundays, if you're in Friday or Saturday, I just have good news for you. Sunday's coming. Okay? Sunday's the day of resurrection. How many guys want to know that's a good day? Come on. How many glad that he's not in the grave? And that's not an April Fool's joke. That's true. That's not like, oh, he rose, April Fools. No. You can go to world religious leaders and great teachers of antiquity. You can go to their graves. You can go to their grave sites. You can go to museums about them, but you will not find Jesus' grave because he rose from the dead. He was buried, was rose from the dead. He's no longer there. You see, it might be Friday. You might be in Saturday. But let me tell you something. You're one sunshine away from everything changing. The grand opening on the rest of your life is just on the precipice of, you just got it. Don't give up because Sunday's coming. See, if this wall represents my past and this wall represents my future, when I stare at my past and my pain and my confusion and I nurse it and I curse it and I rehearse it and I don't let God reverse it. If I stare at my past, I've got my back to my future. But what you have to realize is there comes a time where you say, God, I'm tired of living in my pain and my confusion. And yeah, there's pain, but God, I want you to give me purpose in my pain. And God, I want your presence to give me peace in my confusion because I know Sunday's coming. I know it's coming. And it reminds, there's a story. And the one word for Sunday is winning. And if you've been around our church for a while, I love my youth pastor. And he goes, winning, you know, everything. You know, he's like, winning. He's excited. Why? Because how many of you guys want to know the resurrection's winning? Yeah. And see, a few years ago, and I'm an avid Apple guy. I'm kind of in the Apple ecosystem, okay? I'm bought in all the way. And so for you Samsung people, you know how to pray for me now. But I want you to know I pray for you every day already. But when iPhone 4 came out, they said, and this is iPhone, this is not a 4, but, and they said, this changes everything. And at the time, I was in Mexico on a missions trip. And I was in Mexico, and there was a paralyzed person in front of me, and there was someone whose hand was all palsied, and someone with a crippled knee. And I tell you right now, my iPhone couldn't change anything for them. I don't know what it is you think changes everything, what you're looking for, but I'm here to say Sunday changes everything. When Jesus was dead, buried, and rose again, that changes everything. In fact, there's a story in the New Testament, that in the book of John, Lazarus was a close friend of Jesus. Lazarus was dying. And at one point, Lazarus' sisters, reached out to Jesus to come. And Jesus took a little while to get there. When he got there, Mary and Martha were a little upset. Martha was, she was a fun one in the family. She was a crazy one. But she just said what was in her mouth. And when Jesus shows up, didn't even say hi. She goes, if you'd have been here a couple days ago, he wouldn't be dead. And then they go to the grave, and he's like, been in 3 days. And Martha goes, well, surely he stinketh by now. That's a nice way of saying, never mind. Okay. But Jesus says this. He says this in the moment. Like, where were you, Jesus? You ever been somewhere confused? Like, where were you, Jesus? When he was alive, we were praying and we were believing God for a miracle, but, and we're worn and we went through the pain and we're waiting for you, God, and you didn't show up. And now Jesus shows up. John chapter 11. Let me read it real quick. It says, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. He didn't say, the resurrection of life is like a destination or a day. He is the, he is the resurrection. Brothers dead, they warred, they waited. So I am the resurrection of life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after what? Dying. Let me give you a hint. There's an expiration date on all of your lives. The Bible says it's appointed once for man to die and after that to face judgment. So there's an expiration date on each of us. He says, hey, if you believe in me, you'll live even after your expiration date's called up. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? See, what he was saying is there's no death that my power cannot resurrect. There's no death my power cannot resurrect. In other words, there's no pain inside your heart. There's no dream that's died inside your heart. There's no part of you thinking like, man, my marriage didn't work. What am I going to be worthy? Or I don't know what you walk through. There's no death or pain my God cannot resurrect. Now, I remember before I moved up here, I lived in Anchorage. Before that, I was in Las Vegas. And the Bible says to be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. So that's why I don't live in Seattle. Okay, and so I'm here or Vegas, I guess, and I'd rather be here. All right, thank you. I have four daughters. They wear hoodies 9 months a year. That's winning. Okay, compared to Vegas. And so, but we're in Vegas, and I had some interns, and we're traveling on a ministry tour, doing ministry in Northern Cal, and we're working our way to Oregon to do a couple days on the beach for kind of a free time before we headed back south. I grew up in Tillamook, Oregon, land of cheese trees and ocean breeze, and that nice smell of cow manure you get when you drive through. It's beautiful. It's a smell of money, my dad says. We're driving to Tillamook, and we'd been on the road for a while. I get to Tillamook about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we stopped by. We stayed at my mom's house. My mom and dad live in a beautiful house on about 100 acres on Tillamook River, right on the river. And we showed up, and my mom's incredible. Anyone here like an incredible mom? Like my mom's better than your mom, that type. Okay, I'm just telling you right now. My mom's incredible, and my mom can cook. And so I used to say my mom was Martha Stewart, but then I realized my mom has integrity, so she's Betty Crocker, okay? And so I had to go back to Betty Crocker, okay? And so my mom's Betty Crocker, and I show up, and of course my mom says, hey, you're coming, what do you want me to cook? I'm thinking like, well, hello, your homemade macaroni and cheese. Yes, mom, and waffles and biscuits, and mom, anything you make is like incredible. And so my mom made all this special food. Now, I hadn't seen her in a year. So I arrive at her house, and I come out, I slam the car door, and I'm walking, my mom comes out, and she doesn't say, hi, Mark, it's good to have you home. She says, I hope you're not mad at me. And I'm thinking, like, what's going on? And my mom, I told my mom, Mom, Tillamook's a day off for us. I don't want church services. I just want to come. We're going to be preaching like 12 times in 8 days. And I just want to come home and relax and eat a lot of food, work on my shape, my round shape, and that type of stuff, Mom. And my mom says, I hope you're not upset. I said, what, Mom? She goes, well, there's church in about 3 hours. We have church tonight. I said, Mom, what do you mean? She said, well, yeah, I talked to the pastor at 10 o'clock and told him you're going to be in town. I said, Mom, you told him 10 o'clock yesterday? No, 10 o'clock this morning. I said, Mom, it's Monday. Now, this was 15 years ago, guys. This was before texting. This was before, like, you know, in Tillamook, internet probably, you know. And I said, Mom, no one's going to come. We'll make some phone calls. In other words, Mom, I can preach to you right now. You need to submit and keep your mouth. Those thoughts came to my mind, but I was smarter than that, okay? And so I said, what do you mean? She said, well, there's service tonight. We showed up, like 15 interns. There's 15 of us. 14 interns, myself in the van. 11 people showed up. And I mean, 8 of them had to be there because they're really the meat or the pastor, okay? So I was a little bit irritated. You ever gone to your work a little irritated? Don't raise your hand. Your boss might be here, okay? And I'm like, I don't want to preach to these people. I'm tired. And so I said, Lord, you better help me. And actually, the Lord says, you're an idiot, Mark. Knock it off. God ever speak to you like that? He might need to speak to some of you more, maybe, like, I don't know. But he spoke to me and he said, knock it off. And I remember I'm sitting there and we're worshiping and I got this random thought that entered my head, like, and I knew it was the random thought that comes from God, because if I'm like minding my own business, all of a sudden, like a random thought, like, and I heard this thought, someone has a brain tumor. I was like, probably in the world, thank you, God, yeah. And I felt like, no, it wasn't for the world. It was like someone out of the 11 people has a brain tumor. And I heard throat cancer. I'm thinking, oh, this is a dysfunctional 11 people. And then I felt like this word, and someone's had witchcraft in their past. I thought, that's my sister-in-law. I pegged her the day I met her. I knew my sister-in-law. That was her. I've been praying for my brother. So I, So I preached, and the whole time thinking my sister-in-law knew it, you know. You know, all that stuff. The end of service, we're praying for people, and I said, does anyone, and you know, it's what he said, does anyone have a problem, like, you need healing from your, like, waist up, you know, it's like throat cancer heads up here, but waist up, you know, two people raised their hand. I said, really? So what's going on? Oh, I got something in my throat. I said, really? I'm going to pray for your throat. What do you have? She had a brain tumor. I thought, Both of them did get healed, kind of a separate story over here, kind of cool. But then at the end of service, we're over here, and there's not a whole lot of people there, so I thought I should pray for everyone that came to the altar. And the gal comes up, I found her name is Maria. I prayed for Maria. How you doing, Maria? Good. She said, I'm here looking for my higher power. I said, perfect. I know the most high power. His name is Jesus. She goes, I'm not ready for any Jesus stuff. I'm just ready for my higher power. And I said, well, can I pray for you? He said, sure. And I start to pray for her, and this random thought comes in my mind. Again, it's like, oh, she hasn't slept in the night in 3 years. And so I stopped. I said, Maria, I got a question for you. Before I pray too long, how do you sleep? She goes, not very well. I said, it's been three years since you slept through the night. She goes, how did you know that? I said, I'm crazy. I said, I feel like God spoke to me. I said, there's something in the Bible called words of knowledge. I feel like God gave me insider trade information that won't get thrown me in jail. And so as I said that, all of a sudden I saw a picture. Like, I'm just talking to her. I see a picture of like candles, and I assumed because of the witchcraft, I thought maybe it was a seance or something. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said her dad was involved with witchcraft. And then all of a sudden I said, and the reason you haven't slept through the night, Maria, is because of the witchcraft that was performed on you because of your dad. And she starts to cry, and I thought, oh no, estrogen. I don't know how to handle this at home. I don't know how to handle it here. And so I say, do you want God to take away the nightmares and the pain? She goes, I'm not ready for that. I said, well, do you want to sleep through the night? She goes, and she said this. She says, if I sleep through the night tonight, I'll know your God is real. I said, okay, let's pray. I said, Lord, help her sleep. Amen. I drove out of town the next day, and I'm an hour or two away. I get a call from my mom. She goes, Mark, you won't believe it. I'm thinking, I told those interns if they plug the toilets, they need to let someone know. I'm thinking that thought. I mean, I'm just that whole leadership part. They're like, oh, there's a problem. She goes, Maria called, and she blamed you for being late for work. I said, Mom, you know I get blamed for a lot of things, but I am not why she was late for work. She says, Mark, she said, Maria set her alarm for 6. She slept through her alarm till 9 o'clock. When her head hit the pillow when she got home from church last night, she slept all night long. And she said, she called and says, Pam, I want to know the Jesus your son talked about. Now, why do I share that story? Because some of you are tired of the warring and the waiting for something to happen. You're tired, you're living in your Friday, and maybe it's the nightmares of like Maria. I don't know your story, but all I know is there's people living in Friday that have been warring, full of pain. There's people in Saturday confused, going, is something ever going to change? But I'm here to say there's a Sunday coming like Maria found, where all things change. Maria now teaches the Christian-based Celebrate Recovery at her church. Because how many want to know God can set the captive free and release the oppressed, the Bible says. Yeah. See, that's why we read the verse. The same power that raised Christ from the dead can live in you. Easter's not a celebration. Easter can be in you. So I want to ask you a question today. See, Easter in you is a relationship with Jesus. If you take out the worship guides you were handed, I want to ask you a question. I want you to look at something handed in. And the reason why is I want to know where you're at, and I want to know where the people that attend our church are at. And I kind of want to know how to pray for you. And so take your worship guide and flip it over in the back. And I want you to take a pen, and I want you to fill out one of these four here. And you might say, well, I'm just not going to fill that out. Well, then don't. It's all right. Be one of the ones that do. I would describe my relationship with Jesus as, circle one, number one, I'm already in a real relationship with Jesus. A. In other words, you already, maybe you're a church attender, you already have a relationship with Jesus, and you're serving God, circle A, or maybe B, I'm beginning a real relationship with Jesus today. Maybe today, today's the day where you say, you know, I'm ready to make a decision to serve Jesus. Circle B, and I'll pray with you in a moment. Or maybe C, I like to consider it a bit more first. And I just want to say, if that's you, circle it. You be you. We don't want to force you into anything at True North. We want you. Maybe there's some questions you need to have answered. Maybe you got to figure some more things out before you're ready to say, oh, I'm diving all in and jumping in head first to serve Jesus. So circle C, or maybe you're D. I don't ever intend on making that decision. Circle it. That's okay. Here's where I know what's going to happen. There's some of you that will circle C this year, but you'll find yourself in the next 12 months searching, and maybe before Easter next year, you'll make that, you'll move to a B, and you'll begin a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're a D, and here's what I know. I'm just giving you a heads up. If you circle D, God knows you circle D, and I believe God's going to begin to pull, and there'll come a day where you'll come here, and you'll circle A, but you'll write, I used to be a D. Circle it. And our ushers are going to come at this point, and I'm going to ask you, drop your survey. Drop your survey in the bucket when it goes by in a moment after we pray over to receive the Lord's tithes and offerings. Again, your survey is very valuable to us. We want to know, again, if we could teach on anything in the Bible. This is the question I have, or Mark, what's the best way we can communicate to us? We'd love to know. Please help us with that. If you're a guest with us again, thanks for joining us. Thanks. This will be the time to tear off your coupon on the welcome card and drop it in the offering bucket as well. And get yourself a free cup of coffee out here. I think it's the best way we can tell someone we love them is coffee. If you don't like coffee, grab some water. It'll be all right. I want to pray. But if you circled B today, I want to pray with you. In fact, with your bowed heads and close your eyes all across this room, you're here and you say, Mark, I want to start a new relationship with Jesus. There's an expiration date in my life and I want to be in right relationship with Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to pray that prayer with you. Just pray it with me silently as I pray. Oh, dear Jesus, today I want to commit my life to you. I believe you died on the cross for my sins to forgive me. So Jesus, please forgive me today. I want to experience Sunday in my heart and life. I want to experience winning with you in my heart and life today in Jesus' name. Thank you for forgiving me. Be my life leader in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.